Welcome to Critical Ditto, the Pokemon role-playing podcast run by us and listened to by you and enjoyed by you. My name is Stuart Clark. I am the games master for Critical Ditto. I sort of run things, kind of. Just like you kind of win sometimes at those carnival stands. You know the ones that look easy to win, but are not at all easy to win because the hoop's too small or the cups are too bouncy. But I'm the host here and I win these games and Ali, roll up! Roll up, Ali. Try your luck at my carnival stand. Who are you and what are you doing?
Oh, wow. Look, it's one of those ring tosses where you got to get things over bottles
super
to win
easy.
Like cuddly
super
toys.
Super easy. Yeah.
I will definitely win those. And I, Ali, want to win that cuddly toy that looks like Kenny Mullet. He looks like an empathetic young man on a quest to save Formia with his poker powers. I could just feel that from his face and his little plushie. And actually, if I throw it over multiple bottles, there's a sign here that says I can win his Pokemon with him. God, that's amazing. Yeah, I can't wait to win the Decidueye called Bow Tie, the Gyarados called Moustache, the Salazzle called Hoops, the Honchkrow called Fedora, the Spiritomb called Swirly, the Kamoa called King Thrush, or the Galvantula called Fleek, or maybe all of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's doable. It's all doable.
I tell you what, cute voice Carnival Alley really freaked me out there. I don't know about anyone else, but that was terrifying. It was slightly higher than your normal register, and it really made me uncomfortable.
This is where I sit at carnivals, Tom.
It's just the carnival energy.
This is Carnival Alley.
He's had some cotton candy. He's
exactly.
Right. He's okay.
I'm buzzed off the fairness of these games.
So fair. That's why they call it a fairground.
Carnival Alley.
Exactly. And I'm just going to throw this ring toss and boink. Oh, that's weird. Definitely went over the bottle, but it seems
to have bad luck.
Bounced off it and hit someone on the back of the head.
You can always give me more money.
Oh, why don't I give you more money whilst the person I hit on the back of the head talks about themselves? What are they doing? Oh,
thank you so much for that lovely bit of physical violence there, Ali. I am just trying to win at this coconut shy over here because apparently I've not been to a carnival since 1948 and I can't remember anything that exists beyond that. And I felt like Tombola was also weird and old. I am here at the Coconut Shy desperately trying to win the very angry and sizable teddy bear that is Theo, the current O of the Church of Slowking. But if I don't win that one, maybe I can hit one of these coconuts and win a nice, enjoyable prize like Theo's Pokemon, which are a Medicham, a Togekiss, RIP, Leavanny, a Kabuto, a Slowpoke, a Combi, or a Barbaracle. Or if I don't win any of those, maybe I'll just go to the WI tent and buy some 3 zest marmalade. Again, why have I not
very
been
fate,
to a carnival?
Very fate.
Very fate.
Yes.
I don't know if I really know the distinction between a carnival and a fate.
They're right next to each other. It's all good.
Okay, wonderful.
Excuse Excuse me, sir. Sir, help me.
Yeah.
Help me.
Yes, yes, small urchin. Yes, what can I do for you?
I'm not a small urchin. My name is Tom Dale.
You just had too much cotton candy.
No, I got into an accident with the Zoltar machine, and now I'm an adult, but I'm in a kid's body. I should be able to go to the over-18s, gambling den, but I can't. My Zoltar machine looked a lot like a character called Brandy, and her Pokemon included a wimpy called whatever it is, a bunny.
You're a child, don't worry. It's okay.
There were lots of them. There was a scorpion and a cat bear smoking, and others who have fainted, so probably not important anymore. How do I change back to my real body?
Wow, this is carcoal erasure.
I don't know, I'm just a little boy. No, wait, I'm an adult. Please, let me get back to my adult body, which is, ironically the same size as I am now. But at least I feel more adult.
Does your adult body still exist at the carnival? Can we find it? Because maybe we can ask them what happened to you.
Tom, you had the audacity to say that my high voice was weird.
I'm a little
Look
boy.
At you now.
No.
Let's find your body. Let's find your body, chap. I'm sure you've got plenty of stories to tell.
I'm sure he does. Wherever he is.
Was that the transition to previous?
Yes, it was.
That was the previously transition because my old body would probably have memories of the past.
Previously on Critical Ditto.
Kenny, Brandy, and the Special Defenders tried to fight off the extreme ball Pokemon charged Mega Zapdos. Brandy came up with a plan which she was willing to sacrifice herself for. But before she could, General Phillips took the electric vaults instead. Reacting to the death of Phillips, Kenny took on the Zapdos alone and gave in to his Cresselia poker powers, moonblasting Zapdos into oblivion, all of which was recorded by Brandy's Porri phone. Meanwhile, Theo continued their chase of Tyler to try and get their key and the iPad to release the Extreme Ball Pokemon from the Pokemon League's control. Tyler and Theo crash-landed at the entrance to the ruins, running into Elaine and Cornelius, two of Frey's most trusted Team Mystic admins. Theo and Tyler, seeing no other way, struck up an uneasy truce to take on the Meowstic Lady and the Probopass Man.
We're going to start again in this Pokemon League Stadium, where Kenny has just descended from the heavens, the power that had been coursing through his body dissipating as he gently lowers himself to the floor, crumples in an abject heap around the rubble and the crackling lightning that still conducts within the puddles and various pools of liquid that still litter the stage. It's quiet. The storm is still dissipating, so little bits of rain and wind are still tugging at clothes or matting hair. But otherwise, the night is becoming clear and the moon is beginning to shine down, a moon that reflects only too brightly in your eyes, Kenny. As you descend, you realize there's a small buzzing coming from 3 meters or so from you. And as you look over, you see that it is Brandy's Porri phone.
Kenny goes to the Porri phone.
And the Porri phone, Kenny, is not in total working order. It's definitely taken some damage. I sort of see it with a slightly cracked screen. The electricity in the air has assaulted it, and it's just replaying this video that it captured over the last 20 seconds. This video of you unleashing what could be close to your full powers that it obviously captured in the moments prior. And there's just a prompt on the screen. As I say, I don't know how it appeared because it's glitching, but it just says, do you want to delete this video? Yes, no.
I think Kenny... No. No, he doesn't want to delete that video.
I think that's a wise idea.
I mean, I want to break the phone in half, but...
Nah, but we don't want to be dishonest with them, do we? If we're going to be a partnership, Kenny, we've got to be upfront with them.
With who?
With Brandy. With the others.
Well, and show them this.
Well, what do you think? What we've just achieved there is a true marker of partnership. That's what happens when we work together. And I think it's quite special.
I think I just lost someone and I'm not really in control of myself. If I were to do that to someone, or if I were to be manipulated in a position where I did that to someone, maybe not as powerful as a Zapdos, then that could be devastating. Power without control is just violence.
Brandy, where are you?
Brandy is coming back for Kenny.
Okay, so you're kind of getting back into the stadium. Did you see anything of what, or were you kind of in the bunker with the Special Defenders?
I think Brandy had left. Kenny had made sure everyone had left the Pokemon Stadium.
Okay, so Brandy, what is the prompt that makes you sprint back into the stadium?
I think she just, after Kenny has zapped the Zapdos into blasting off again territory, I think, because it was so fast and so powerful, there's like a delayed sound. So there's like a huge flash that, you know, when you don't even see the lightning, but suddenly just everything just flashes.
And then you get the shockwaves.
So I think she shrugs off Gary and goes, Gary, let go of me. We need to see if Kenny's all right.
I'm so scared.
You're fine.
Please.
You're fine, Gary. You're okay. You can't be scared, okay?
Brandy, should we stay here? Are you going to go on your own?
Yeah. You guys stay here. Regroup. Gary, give me the key you've got.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the key. Yeah, totally. Totally.
Why is it slimy?
Why is it not?
Oh, no. Just... I don't have time for this. I'll be back. But she kind of looks around and sees that morale is low.
Oh, yeah.
everyone looks a bit shell-shocked and she sort of thinks, I'll get Kenny first.
Well, I think ordinarily, Brandy, you would expect them to just follow you. I think that's what everyone has been doing up until now, is everyone's been in 100% at all times and just been like, yeah, we go here and we do this. And there is hesitance. And when you say, yeah, I'm going to go on my own, everyone's like, yep, okay, fine, you know. And it's clear that people's morale is a bit broken, yeah.
So I think Brandy takes a step and then turns around and just says to everyone, it's going to be okay. I'm going to get Kenny and I'm going to come back and we're going to make a plan. All right?
Say, Brandy, just be careful, yeah? We don't want to lose anyone else.
Don't worry, Hedrold. We won't. And Brandy says that thinking about Kenny like, oh God, have we lost Kenny?
Okay, so you're sprinting out. You're sprinting out of this underground bunker that you've kept everyone in. And you're heading towards the stadium. So at what point do you arrive, Brandy? Do you hear any of Kenny talking to himself?
Yeah, I hear it, but I don't hear any words. I just hear... It just feels like Kenny's having a conversation.
Okay. And then, Kenny, you start to hear the footsteps of Brandy sprinting towards you.
You just see Kenny staring at this phone.
Kenny! Oh, thank... I would say Slow King, but I'm not sure Slow King exists. But hey, Thank you.
Kenny just chucks Brandy the phone.
Whoa. Oh, God, what's this?
I'm dying. I'm dying, Brandy.
No, what are you playing? I don't care about you.
How do you feel? How do you feel about me?
Can you play the video? It was on a video.
Yeah, I'll play the video if you just tell me that you care for me. Tell me that I mean something to you, Brandy.
Is that the password for the video?
Yeah, the password is I've always loved you. Please. Please, Brandy.
The password is you've always loved me.
I'm not dying. I'm not dying. I'm so sorry. I just wanted to hear you say that.
Great.
All right, here's the video. Here you go. There you go.
How are you not dying? General Phillips died.
I could never die. I could never die.
And yet you, with the lightning coursing through, which probably should have overloaded something.
Oh, if anything, it's made me more powerful.
I was going to say, you look bigger, actually.
I actually have the ability to shock you now at any time.
No, don't want that. I reject that. I reject that improv. I won't allow it. You're just saying buzzed. You're just saying buzzed at me. It doesn't work. Can you play the video, please?
All right, Parafone plays the video. And Brandy, you see it. You see Kenny rising off the ground in this unearthly, godlike way and blasting this Zapdos with this incredible moonblast beam.
Kenny, is that you?
Yes, me.
Oh my God. That's... And Brandy gives Kenny a hug and says, it's going to be okay, Kenny. It's going to be all right.
He's dead. He's dead, Brandy.
I know.
He's dead.
I know. And it's awful, all right? And I just want to make sure that you're okay, because from what I saw, that looked... both amazing and scary at the same time. I'm not going to be afraid like I used to be. I'm going to say, I'm here for you. I'm not scared of you, Kenny. We have to keep going.
Phillips is dead, Brandy. And it's your fault.
I know.
He died. It's because of you. Because you keep doing this, Brandy. You keep putting yourself in danger, time after time after time. Your response to anything, any problem, is self-sacrifice. It's to put yourself in the way so that others don't get hurt. And look what happened, Brandy. Someone died. That could have been you, Brandy. And the only reason it isn't is because Phillips knows how important you are. You, Brandy. Kenny pushes Brandy away so there's a bit of distance between them. You have to survive, Brandy. If there is any point to this, if we're going to win this war, there needs to be a future. And Brandy, you haven't realised yet how important you are in that future. What do you think's going to happen when we beat Frey? You think I'm going to lead people? You think people are going to like another Poke Power telling them what to do? You think it's going to be Theo? Theo's got to deal with the church and all of their problems. Brandy, you are everyone in Formia. And Formia needs you to live, to survive. Stop doing this, Brandy. Please stop. Yeah, ever since I've known you, from day one, you have thrown yourself in the way of people and Pokemon. And I get why. And it's so brave, but it's also so stupid. You are the best of us, Brandy. Phillips knew it, and that's why he died.
Tears in Brandy's eyes. And what about you, Kenny? What was that just now? Was that you? Taking on a Zapdos head on? Displaying unimaginable power just then? Is that you? Is that you sacrificing yourself to something else? Something you can or can't control? You say, I'm important, Kenny. And that is true. I am important. I know that. But so is Hannah. So is Hedrold. So is, God help me, Heron. Gary
Smoke. You forgot his name for a second, didn't you?
I did. I was going to call him Starling. And I thought, that's wrong. That's really wrong. But that's, you know, even I can't remember his name. And he's still important. Every single person in Formia is important. Everyone has a right to survive and a right to live. I'm not going to apologise, Kenny. I'm not. I will always try and save people. Always. And you know what, Kenny? I'm really, really glad you're here with me. Because I know that if I'm in trouble, you will save me. And Kenny, I promise, if you're in trouble, I will save you.
Kenny hears Brandy say, like, I will save you too. And the sort of sound from the video flares up and you just hear like a roar of a moonbeam. And Kenny closes the distance and him and Brandy again and takes her by the shoulders and says, I already knew that. Then, like, in this sort of dilapidated, broken Pokemon stadium, Kenny just looks up and sees, like, new Pokemon champion in, like, a screen.
It's a broken, like, screen, slightly,
yeah,
hanging off.
Exactly. He looks back to Brandy. You know, when we started this journey, I wanted to find out more about my Poke powers, and you wanted to become Pokemon champion. I guess we both got what we wanted, eh?
Kenny, I'm tired of thinking I'm not strong enough. And I'm tired of you thinking you're out of control. I'm strong enough. And you're in control. And Theo's the O of the church. We're going to beat Frey. Okay? And then I think Brandy notices that the other special defenders have come out the bunker because they were just awkward.
Yeah.
And so they overhear Brandy saying, we're going to beat Frey. And I'm more sorry than you'll ever know about General Phillips. But he did what he did, and it was his choice. And to honour his memory, here's what I say, folks. I say, we don't sit down. We don't rest until this is done.
We got to find Theo.
Oh, Theo could be dead. Like, I'm worried, yeah, actually. I haven't seen Theo in a long time.
No.
And...
Weren't they like going to find someone to do with electricity, and then there was this massive electrical bird in the sky? That's probably a bad omen, right? Theo can't take on these big birds without me. They are clueless without me.
We're going to do it all together, Kenny. And sort of takes his hand off his shoulder, so they're kind of holding hands, and then they...
I think maybe the special defenders have built a small pyre for General Phillips as well, in the background.
But it's at the other end of the stadium, so as Brandy and Kenny are sort of slowly walking towards this makeshift... memorial. Kenny says, so you had to fight Gary, right? Your Pokemon champion. How many Pokemon do you have left?
That's a difficult one, Kenny. I have Wimpy, and they are not at full strength, and that is it.
Right.
So resource management did not go well for me. How about you?
Kenny has absentmindedly fiddling around with his sort of poker belt.
Thank you, Ali. Thank you.
Yeah,
we all appreciate you saying that. We all appreciate you saying poker belt.
And I think in the last sort of couple of minutes, like, his hands rested on one of them and he looks at it and it's a poker ball with a couple of braids on it. You know, I've always really wondered what it might be like to have
let's say, Gary, on my team, do you want to trade for King Thrush?
Yeah, Kenny. I would. Gary's a terrible Pokemon. He's made a huge mistake.
We'll swap back. Shall we swap back at the end of the fight?
You'll want to swap back, I'm sure. I think depending on if you've got any valuables, Gary will eat them. So yeah.
The Pokemon in this Pokeball taught me a lot about leadership. But not as much as you have.
Thanks,
Kenny. I think he's still got a couple more lessons to learn.
Let's go to the trade machine over here, and it's just got to do the whole go through the atmosphere.
We've got to save.
Have you guys got a link cable?
We've got to save. Save before we trade.
You've actually got to head downstairs to a Pokemon Center, I think.
Oh, if we're going to the Pokemon Center, we could just see all the Pokemon again.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So we'll leave it there.
I think Brandy takes Kenny's hand, and we walk towards the pyre and start helping.
We make the best chair, and then we burn it.
Yeah. Nice. I think Hannah is absolutely bawling her eyes out. I think Bash has got a slight tear in her eye, but is very much building the pyre. Mm-hmm. I think Heron is also it's just being a bit moody.
Mm. You can't see it under the Sea King mask, but
you can't see it under the Sea King mask. Gary's just talking, just over everything. And
yes, that kind of verbal diarrhea. Yeah.
Barnaby and Hedrold are both helping. Barnaby is trying to keep spirits up. He's singing a sort of sea shanty or something. And
of course he is. Can we hear it, Tom? Can we hear it?
I was a wonderful sailor sailing away, looking to be a beautiful man. I'm a lovely young sailor. I'm looking for love, looking for love on the high seas above.
Oh.
Everybody! No one joins in.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Not today.
So we cut away from this scene on a slightly somber note, and we're going to cut into something far more action-packed, because this is combat, baby!
Here we go.
And we're going in with Theo, and I think we're going to go in media res. I think the fight has already begun, Theo, and I'd love for you to tell me which one of your Pokemon is out there absolutely smashing it, absolutely holding their own against both Elaine and Cornelius and their various Poke-powered assaults.
Yeah, lads, I've thought about this long and hard, and there's an obvious choice. It's Leavanny. Hillary is absolutely playing it. A rock type and a psychic type against a grass bug. Absolutely no choice.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So absolutely slicing with some X scissors towards Elaine, who's trying to dodge them, knowing the damage that could do. And Leavanny also is just dodging any rock blasts that come from Cornelius, who's trying to throw these. Where did the rock blasts come from, Tom, in Cornelius? How is he emanating?
I think they're from his nose.
From his like
from
bogeys.
His nose.
Okay.
Yeah. Like his big Probo Parsi sort of nose. Yeah.
He's got a nose cannon.
Oh, God.
Oh no. But yes, and Leavanny has been holding their own, unable to get a solid blow in, and you can start to see the beads of sweat appearing on Hillary the Leavanny, but she is absolutely smashing this fight. Ali, I'm going to give you Tyler in this particular scene.
Fun.
How is Tyler and Emolga contributing? How are they assisting in this particular battle?
Emolga has used sort of double team and is trying to confuse targets, as it were. It looks like there's 6 or 7 different Emolga on the field right now.
Mm.
Elaine keeps firing off random psi beams towards one, and then it kind of evaporates in the air.
Nice. So sort of providing support, distracting, doing lots of create an advantage, basically. Nice. And Tyler is still bound in this psychic hold. Tom, I'll give you Cornelius then. And
Cornelius.
So I think Hillary is going toe-to-toe with Elaine right now, and Elaine has got some psi blades going for psycho cuts coming out of her arm. It's basically a sword fight between Leavanny and Elaine. Elaine blocking, Leavanny going in. How is Cornelius going to try and sucker punch? Not literally, but get a sneaky blow in on Leavanny here.
Pretty sure Cornelius knows flamethrower, doesn't he, Tom?
I think, yes.
I learned flame blowing in the circus.
He's going to use his moustache to, use a wing attack, basically, because they're like wings now, his moustache. No, I guess in the fiction here is that obviously Cornelius has an excellent moustache, and he is going to try and use bind on Leavenny to try and hold them in place. Okay. So he wiggles his nose and it just grows into these sort of viney, horrible bristles.
Does Cornelius declare his attack? He feels like the kind of guy who would declare an attack. What does he call it?
In a rhyming couplet.
Thanks, Ali. Yeah, of course he does. He says, young person, shut up. It's going to work.
Shut up, everybody.
Shut up, everyone. I'm announcing my
I'm
move.
Doing something here.
Young person, this is it. It's time to lose to my moustache whip. And...
Oh, no. I'm liking Cornelius. Oh, no. The assassin.
Honestly, master of subterfuge and stealth, announces his moves. Yeah.
Okay, so, David, how is Leavenny going to try and respond?
I guess Leavenny's going to focus on trying to get an X-Scissor in on Elaine.
Okay.
Like, just try and get one of them down.
Okay, so you're going for pure physical attack. Let's see if you can get a hit on Elaine. Let's roll plus physical then, please.
Cool, so Leavenny is a plus 2 in physical. It's a 6 and a 6. Plus what? 2.
Oh, Hillary!
Oh my goodness.
Gideon!
Hillary!
Where was this for Kabuto? It's literally a 6 and a 6. I'm actually gagged.
Wow. Oh man, David, what does this attack look like? This is a 12. Tell me what happens.
It's a 14, actually. Stu,
sorry, yes, a 14 two. Indeed.
Yeah. This is like a luck point here.
Well, I think that Leavenny has a new evolution. So Leavenny, I think that the moustache goes for Leavenny, but Leavenny has evolved from Swadloon, the best protector of this line, and there is a full protect just like wraps itself in that sort of circular shield.
Oh,
and
so the protect was already up, and they didn't even see it.
Yeah, can't even get
sick.
Near it.
Sick.
Yeah. And so just similar to Theo's sort of diving through that smog before, now just is able to dart through and goes for Elaine. And this X-Scissor is like a full beam of green light that fires out in an X.
Oh, do you want to give Elaine an X-Scar in the same place that Brandy has an S-Scar?
I think that's a dream. Oh, yeah, this beam fires and it full-on Dragon Ball Z's Elaine across this room. And she smashes into the wall at the other side.
Into the silo door. There's like an imprint of Elaine. And you see a little trickle of blood just appear at the corner of her mouth. So, Leavenny, is it stage 3? Let's say Elaine is a stage 4 Pokemon, sure. So, minus 1, so 2. And it's super effective. So, 3 plus a d4, please, Leavenny.
1. So, 4 damage.
Okay, 4 damage. 4 damage on Elaine. Great. Thank you.
My partner in crime! We do not have time for this.
Elaine says in great pain, you're right, Cornelius, and maybe if you spent less time announcing your attacks and more time actually doing something useful, we wouldn't be losing this. What is wrong with you? You've been doubting yourself since the start of this battle. You've been hanging on the sides, musing over what moves to use. What's wrong with you? Are you in this fight or not, Cornelius?
I am in this fight. But, yes, I suppose I might be a bit doubtful.
Why?
No, only, well, because the fray didn't choose you or me, but Rosie to go with them.
Why should that matter? Frey is our glorious leader. Why?
Who the muck is Rosie, is what I want to know. We've been there since the start, and yet we are out here like mere underlings.
What do you...
Sorry, young person, we'll be with you in a second.
Theo, they're fighting. This is your chance. Theo.
No, this is not your chance, okay? If you want bread, go to France.
Why are you here, Cornelius? Are you here for the glory? Are you here to say that you feel close to Frey? Or are you here for the cause?
I'm here because I am...
Why are you here? Why did you leave the circus, Cornelius?
Because I succumb very easily to superstition and because I did not win the moustache competition. Okay? That's my...
Tom.
That's my big issue
here because I didn't win that competition, and Frey said I had the best moustache, and also that I don't really have any friends, and I feel like my moustache was my only thing, and people made fun of me.
Do you feel like you have friends now?
I did until just now. That actually quite hurt, Elaine. Ow. Okay. Yes. Well, I did. And this is confusing. Let's get rid of these and then we can chat. Okay? Let's get rid of these tiny gnats.
Okay. Elaine's gonna pull herself off the silo door. Cornelius, you go for the Amalga, I'll go for the Leavening.
Wait, no, that's not fair. You have a time advantage. Do it the other way around.
Listen, we might be squabbling, but we still know our shigs, okay?
Well, Amalga, you know how it goes. Unfortunately for you, it's time for me to blow my nose.
And then Cornelius is going to go for a big, big rock tomb.
Okay.
From the nose.
All right, so, Ali, roll for Tyler.
Great.
You're rolling plus special for Amalga. So plus two. And yes, you're rolling a plus two.
Plus two. So the first one is a two. Oh, gosh. And the second one is also a two. So that is a big six.
Oh, a six. Dang. Okay.
Yeah, not great. Not good.
Okay. Oh, right. So let's do some nose pass, nose damage, or probo pass even.
I'm pretty sure you said nose pass there.
Yeah, well,
sure
yeah, I did. But nose pass doesn't have a mustache, Ali, so.
Oh, no. Foiled
in
again.
In the canon. So that's a stage four, and Imolga is a stage three, let's say. So it's four, five, and it's super effective, six. Oh, I think Imolga.
I mean, surely Imolga can't be that.
I don't think Imolga.
Defense-y.
Roll a d4, just for the fun of it, Tom. But I think
I shall.
Excels.
Oh, Hallie, it's a four.
Oh, it's a ten. Gosh. Ten damage. Oh.
I think that's the most damage anyone has done in the whole history of the podcast.
What did that chat with Elaine, what did that summon in Cornelius that allows him to do the most powerful attack we've ever seen on the podcast?
I think that really put Cornelius in a bad spot.
Okay.
That chat with Elaine made him worry that he doesn't have any friends, that he is not trusted by Frey, that everything he's believed up until now is not going great. So it's what Imolga has just been hit with there is pure anxiety, and thus it is the most powerful move we've used in the game, because that's where
been
it's
there.
All gone.
Okay, that's what happens, Ali, is that there's so many rocks in such a vicious blast that all the double team Imolgas get hit, and obviously the real one gets hit as well, and Imolga goes down, absolutely fainted. Tyler, what do you say?
No worries, I have another three Pokemon.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm in control of this scene, Stu.
Okay.
And for my next Pokemon, go, Raikou.
Oh, God. Come to
it
me.
Feels correct.
Raikou! That's another thunderstorm gets summoned overhead.
Yeah. Oh, I really hope he doesn't turn on me again.
Oh, no, but okay, here's the interesting thing, Ali, for you to think about whilst we deal with Theo's next move. How can Tyler help with no Pokemon? Like, this is a Tyler who you have your iPad, you have your wits, and your cockroach-like survival abilities. How is Tyler going to contribute to this fight from here on in?
Who's that Pokemon?
Mustache.
Kumbai. Kumbai. Oh, wait. Kumbai. 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 Kumbai.
Kumbaya, my sheep. Kumbaya.
Do you know what? You trying to get the sheep to sing, Deirdre, is really infuriating when I'm trying to train them.
Well, maybe if you didn't undermine me every time I try to do it, it might work.
Look,
listen to the sheep. Listen to the sheep sing. Go on. Do what's your best. See that? See that lovely baritone?
I just don't see how this is going to help us rob the bank, okay? Yes, I'm sorry, Salazar. That's what we're doing. That's my favourite sheep, Salazar, over here. Oh, I'm sorry, Schmalazar. So I've got Salazar and Schmalazar, and
our two bank-robbing sheep. Perhaps we need to consult our 10-point plan on how to rob the bank with singing sheep.
All I'm saying is, Deirdre, I did actually go to the bank and I stole a midsection already that hopefully will give us the answer of how to break into the bank.
Wait, so you've already broken into the bank?
Why are we breaking into the bank again then?
Because plot reasons. On to the midsection.
Okay.
Welcome to the midsection, everyone. Let's just jump straight in. This is from Atlas. Thank you, Atlas. Atlas has written, his name is Jupiter, and he's an ex-gym leader turned photographer traveler. He travels with an ambipon named Shutter, who is an amateur reporter and carries a camera around with her. He has curly brown hair with silver streaks and stands around 6'8". He's also around 50 years old and surprisingly built. He might as well just be an Earthling as a human. He likes to travel around the world with Shutter after an accident at his own gym. The only noticeable scar that I add is one that goes from the top of his left temple down to the right side of his lip, narrowly missing his left eye. He had a wife when he was younger, but she and his only son died due to strange circumstances in their hometown.
Oh, my gosh.
Whew, this is a roller coaster. Here we go. His favourite food... Sorry, I love that we've gone from that to his favorite food. His favorite food is probably probably pasta, but Atlas isn't sure.
He's too numb inside to know, Tom.
He tends to offer other trainers homemade pasta if they look hungry, and clothes.
I'm not sure if I like it, so I guess you can have it.
He probably wears just a normal pair of trousers, navy blue, with nice pair of leather steel-toed boots.
It's so funny when people who've created characters say they probably do things.
Yeah, it's like, great.
I've created this person, but it's still up to them. It's up to them what they do with their life.
Look, I've just invented the character. They're now out in the world. And finally, Atlas writes, and they also just wear a nice white t-shirt.
Nice. So, very nice.
Signing off, Atlas. Mm. Thank you very much, Atlas.
Thank you, Atlas.
So here we go, Jupiter. Lot to go with here. So loads. Jupiter, 6'8". Mountain of a person.
Oddly built.
Tragically scarred.
Emotionally and physically.
And uncertain on where they stand with pasta.
Well, my first point, Tom, that I have, this is feeling very Hedroldy. You know, the reporter, ambipod. Do you think maybe Atlas's son didn't die?
I think Atlas's son didn't die.
Right?
Atlas's son did not die.
I don't think he did.
I wonder if perhaps there was some magical involvement involved that perhaps disappeared Hedrolds.
Lovely. Maybe the mother was poker powered and managed to get them out in mysterious circumstances.
Hold on. Are we saying Jupiter is a bad guy here? Are we saying that the mother escaped with Hedrold?
Not escaping Jupiter per se, but escaping a deadly situation.
That resulted in a massive scar across his face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So maybe we're suggesting that she's Cyclozar poker-powered and used Shed Tail, just like got out of there, put up a substitute.
Yeah, left something, some debris that might suggest that they died, but actually they didn't.
So this person loves travelling, is a reporter. So I think perhaps Jupiter used to travel with his young family and at one point went to do some research into a dangerous, let's say, cave somewhere on the coast.
Well, he was a gym leader, right? He's an ex-gym leader.
He was a gym leader. So maybe he can handle himself.
Gym leaders usually kind of take care of things for their town, don't they? So maybe the town was like, hey, Jupiter, there's something going on in this cave. You've got to investigate it.
I think there was possibly some out-of-control feralligator in there. And unfortunately, Jupiter did not take into account the tide. So when they went into the cave, it was fine.
Classic.
It was fine. And then the tide came in and suddenly, surrounded by feralligator, Hedrold's mother...
Oh, it was a family affair. They all went in.
Yeah, they all went in.
Feels like a first mistake.
It does feel like Hedrold, though. It does feel like Hedrold.
It does feel
Why
like
Why would they bring their child in to fight
the scoop,
a feralligator?
For the scoop, Ali!
Yeah, massive scoop. Cause... The tide is high.
And I'm holding on.
Yes. And I think Jupiter tried to hold off the feralligator themselves. And then the mother, let's say, what can the mum's name be? Something, Crown Trier?
Crown Trier.
Hate that's a terrible
no,
name.
You hate Crown Trier.
Like Town Crier. You've just swapped the letters.
Crown Trier. Sorry. So we're saying Hedrold is genius, but Crown Trier, no. Trash.
Yeah, all right. Her name is Trash. Right. That's a better name.
Fine.
Like
Fine.
Trish, but Trash.
Yeah. It's short for Trasher.
Natrasha.
Natrasha.
So Jupiter and Natasha go into the Feralligator den, and Jupiter starts trying to fight off the Feralligators because the tide has come in, you know, accidentally. Well, not accidentally. The tide is obviously meant to come in, but Jupiter didn't realise the tide was going to come in. Then he's holding off the Feralligators while Natasha and Hedrold, Natasha, who is poker-powered, manages to kind of unlock her poker powers at that point and escapes by vanishing with Hedrold to a far-off region called Formia, and that's where baby Hedrold has to start again. Yeah. And she you know, redubs herself as Trash because, you know, she wants to start a new life, I suppose.
I feel like we said that Dan Nouncer was Hedrold's dad at one point. Is his stepdad?
Yes. Good shout, Ali. This is it.
I think Natasha was transported, perhaps to, I don't know, Dan Nouncer's town or...
Maybe to the booth while he was casting a match.
To the booth?
Yeah.
And you can only find a very rare bit of Dan Nouncer footage where he just stutters.
He stops
once
for a second,
but then continues on the match. And what's happened in that moment is that a woman and her baby have teleported inside his booth, and the woman says, "My name is Trash. I need your help."
He's in the middle of a beautiful metaphor, and it just slightly goes askew.
But he doesn't break. It's just that tiny, tiny, because he's such a professional. And Dan Nouncer let Natasha and Hedrold move in with him. And
to his heart.
And there was a beautiful moment, I guess, in Dan Nouncer's life where Hedrold finally started calling him Dad. And that was probably really beautiful.
Oh, man.
Jupiter seems to have...
He's looking for them. He's still looking for them.
But also, is he also just trying to perfect his own pasta? I think he thinks they're dead. I don't think he's looking for them. I think that's the tragedy.
Yeah. But here's the thing. He remembers, the only memory he has of little baby Hedrold is that his first solid food was pasta. And he doesn't know if he likes pasta, but he's going to be damned if he doesn't make the best pasta this side of Formia in case he ever runs into him again.
Mm. Well, and I wonder, perhaps in the international news section, you know, one of those kiosks where you get papers from all over the world.
Yeah.
I think perhaps about 3 weeks ago, he got a copy of the Daily Telegraph and saw who had written one of the stories.
Oh my gosh!
And it was someone called Hedrold Nouncer.
Oh no,
Hedrold Nouncer. That's an odd name because I don't have a last name.
I'm just Jupiter. Yeah.
And thought, could it be? And perhaps Jupiter's on their way,
To Formia
now to find a budding journalist.
It must have been really awkward for him if he went to Sinnoh just being like, "Hi, I'm Jupiter." And everyone was like, "Whoa, too soon." like, whoa.
That's embarrassing for you.
Well, thank you so much, Atlas, for that wonderful midsection. I think we had a lot of fun there. If you would like to send us a midsection, please send it to Critical Ditto. Actually, no, we're not doing them anymore. We're at the end. This is the final
arc. Are you sure we've got enough?
We don't
want to be embarrassed in the final episode and be like, oh, and we ran out for the last one.
Oh, and we ran out. We're making up. This
we
one
would
is
make
from
one up, Stu. Schmalazar
writes. So yeah, we're not accepting them anymore. But do you know what? You can always let us know.
Turn them away.
You can always put them. You can send them to us if you want, and we will read them. Does that make sense, Deirdre? Okay. So now the only way to rob this bank is to disappear the sheep into it, and then
You were talking, I went and robbed the bank again and found a second midsection that maybe we could use to rob it.
But we're not accepting them anymore.
I've wasted my time.
Hold on a minute. Schmalazar just spoke.
I'm actually Salazzle in sheep's clothing. I'm Salazzle. Yeah, that's
that
me.
Quite
that's
bad?
Me.
Salazar, run.
Flamethrower.
No.
Who's that Pokemon?
Mustache whip. It's Cornelius.
Okay, Elaine is coming at Leaveny, Theo. She's bloodied, she's bruised, but she's coming in with another... She's going for the Psybeam, the classic Psybeam, the same attack that she used on Brandy in that train. She's bleeding from the chest. There's that X cross across her chest, but she's red in her eyes. In the way that Cornelius is doubting, she has never been more committed. This is Elaine. Her life was empty until Frey entered it, and she cannot imagine a world beyond this one. So she is going full in, trying to end this Leaveny. How are you going to respond?
Well, I think Theo has a moment of concern, because this isn't like a Pokemon battle where we just... Like, I presume this is not a Pokemon battle where we just knock people out. This is human harm, right? Like, this is
you're doing harm.
Yeah. So if Elaine's at four, anything that hits is going to be bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to... Like, this is it. But Theo also knows that there are no other choices left at this moment. Like, Theo is the person that tries to find the most strategic choice, and Theo has tried to learn to curb their desperate desire for violence as the only answer. That door and that key are solved by doing one thing, and that's attacking. And so Theo isn't going to bring this up. I don't think that Leavenny maybe has the concept or the ability to understand that this is not just a Pokemon battle where violence is a far smaller stakes. But Theo gulps down and goes, Leavenny, X Scissor.
Okay, roll plus physical.
Okay. It's a 3 and a 1 plus a 2. Oh, so it's a 6. It's a 6 for Leavenny.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Maybe that's what it is then, Theo. Maybe it's the spirit of Hillary, who is a human, who was hit by a Pokemon move, or at least a Pokemon, you know, the gauntlet, and suffered at the hands of Malamars for decades. That spirit, that memory, enters Leavenny's head just at this second, and the idea of dealing a killing blow is something that Hillary is unable to do. And that hesitation, that slight hesitation, is what allows Elaine to get in with this Psybeam, this incredibly powerful Psybeam that she's been working on since the Nidorant Express. And she's going to do some damage. What is Leavenny's harm?
It's 5. 5 harm. 5 armor.
Oh dear. Okay. Well, Meowstic is stage 4. And that's a plus 1 because it's higher than Leavenny. So that's already a 5.
Yeah.
Let's roll the d4. Let's roll the d4 anyway, just to see how it looks. It's a 2. So 7 damage on Leavenny.
Leavenny's down.
And Hillary is blasted back. Scatters against the floor by your feet, Theo, and fades. Returns to its Pokemon.
You see that, Elaine? When we want to be on this page, same, we can be on.
What is wrong? I'm the one who took the hit, Cornelius. I'm the one who should have brain damage. What are you saying?
I'm just saying, look, let's, you know, we're doing the right thing. We just obliterated two of Pokemon.
Yes, as long as we're doing it for the right reasons, Cornelius. Are you here for Team Mystic? Are you here for Frey? Or are you here for yourself and your own desires and your own bonds?
How dare you? I've been with Frey for 20 years, I think.
Yeah.
20
yeah,
years.
Yeah.
I've been with Frey for 20 years. You've been here 5 mucking minutes, kid, okay? So how about you fall in line and you realise that I'm top nose pass here and you're merely a bit of bristle?
Hey, Elaine, really huge respect for the fanaticism there that gave you that power. As the O of the Church of Slowking, I respect somebody whose devotion is that powerful. But I think you know that there's nobody in this room whose devotion is as strong as yours, right? And in that case, anybody who isn't a believer can tear something down.
Oh, roll, Theo. I like it. I like it.
Right, what is this?
Just plus charm.
So Theo's a 0 in charm standard and is a 5 and a 3, so a mixed success of an 8.
Ooh, okay.
So you they do it, but you've got to prove you mean it.
Or Tyler could do something here, Ali.
Possibly. Tyler's got his iPad and Tyler knows electrical items.
Nice.
Right. So I was going to try to sort of hack into like a speaker nearby and have Frey's voice, like an AI system, go through the speakers and like talk to them.
Love that. Love that. Okay. So you could have like a Frey voice somewhere help Theo with this?
Essentially.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me. So Tyler, on the little pad, on the Pokemon League app, please broadcast this message in the AI voice of Frey. What is it? What do we hear?
Tyler recorded all of his interactions with Frey.
He
so
did.
He has enough
only
of a voice
just.
Sample.
It's still a bit only glitchy. Just. It's still a bit. She sort of sounds like, "Hello, I'm Frey. I'm the leader of Team Mystic." But it's enough. Elaine is in a vulnerable mental state, Ali. So what do we hear coming out of some little speakers?
David, you were trying to set those two against each other, right?
Yeah, because religious fanaticism, you want to be the one left, do you know what I mean? You want to be the one at the top.
Yeah, I feel like Frey would have said to Tyler at one point, like, if you're not with me, you're against me, or something like that.
Yeah, nice.
So
she definitely said, rough day, do you want to take back control? That's for sure.
At some point, definitely.
At some point, she 1,000% said that.
So you just hear over the sort of speakers at the front of the tree coming from the gate.
If you're not with me, you're against me. Take back control.
Elaine, this is for you.
Amazing. Okay. And Theo, you hear this coming out the speakers and give Tyler a side eye, who's just giving you a nod, like, yeah.
Wink.
Wink, wink. But
there are so many winks. There's one extra wink that's not needed.
Also, like, being from the church, Theo didn't even understand what poryphones were earlier. Like, Theo hearing this AI voice.
So where's Frey? Where is she? Oh my gosh, she's here!
My plan's gone so horribly that Frey has heard.
Okay, so this works. And Elaine, in her vulnerable mental state, having taken a massive hit from Leavenny, is weakened physically and mentally, and her eyes, her meowstic eyes, which we already know are creepy, turn on Cornelius, and you see the flash of purple flame that's in them now, and she goes, "You're not with us. You're against us." And she turns the psybeam towards Cornelius.
Oh, God, you're as crazy as she is. You know what? You're right. My heart isn't in this. Frey asked me to kill a child who was in a coma, for goodness sake. Well, that's not... I grow my moustache. I don't want to... Honestly, you know what, Theo? Thank you for not making me have to make that choice. And then we cut back to the assassin room from season 3, where Cornelius is there in the corner, and he's just like... petrified, freaking out, and like, oh god, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this. And then gets the, okay, you can stand down, and he just,
so relieved.
Honestly, the relief. I've never liked where this has been going, but I did like you, Elaine. I did like you. And being a team. Moustache growing is a very lonely business. You can't grow someone else's moustache, but you can help someone with their homework, you know?
No.
Does that make sense?
No, my life is nothing without Team Mystic, without Frey. We can't be friends. We can't be. We can't have that relationship.
Well, if you are truly so taken by Frey, then I suppose here endeth our play. And... He's just gonna rock throw.
Okay, rock throw versus psybeam. Do you know what? This was a success. You turning them against each other was a success. So I think rather than have us roll against each other, we already know that Elaine is severely damaged. I think we're just gonna have like both the attacks hit each other, massive cloud, massive explosion that knocks both Tyler and Theo off their feet. And when they come to, what position do we think Elaine and Cornelius are in, Tom?
Elaine is still stood up, but almost psychically frozen.
Nice.
It's almost like there's been a psychic overload.
Yeah.
Ever so slightly hovering off the ground in this sort of horrifying stasis.
And actually, from the X is a scar, we start to see a bit of black, a bit of like Frey black sludge starting to leak out of the scar as well. Yeah.
And I think you don't actually see Cornelius. You just see in the shape of a sort of like pineco or foratress, just bristles, almost like a sort of bristle shell. And out of the edges where the bristles or whatever, you just see black sludge coming out of those as well. And you assume that this is just their dead form?
I don't know. Yeah.
I've entered my dead form.
It's a weird one.
I can't
move. This is poker power lore that we don't know about. This is weird stuff. This is weird stuff. But they're sort of out of commission. Tyler, obviously you're released from your bind, your grasp. And for a moment, Theo, Tyler, there's quiet. Tyler, what do you do? You're released.
Tyler's got his iPad, iPad-like device.
Yeah.
In his hand. Stands up.
Thanks for clarifying that. Whoa,
the legal ramifications.
We are clearly stepping on some IP. I need to really crack down on this.
Yeah. We don't want Apple. Device. We've already had Disney. We've had Pokemon. We've had Harry Potter. Let's get Apple involved as well. So he wears his Nike shoes and gets out of his his Land Rover.
Tyler's so into brand endorsement.
Once he takes off his Oakley sunglasses,
he has a swig of Coca-Cola. And
Theo, can you just quickly just say, wow, Tyler, you look so cool in all your Oakley gear.
It's just, I think it's what we've had. Yeah, if you could just, thank you.
Hashtag ad.
And he goes up to Theo and says, that was pretty smart, trying to turn them against each other.
It's the convenient thing about being a former religious evangelist. Teaches you how to turn them against each other.
Ooh, deep. Yeah, I've done a lot of manipulating myself over the last few months. Hey, look, a deal's a deal, right? You saved me. What is it you wanted? It's been a few weeks.
It's the key in the iPad.
Oh, yeah, the key.
The key in the iPad.
Lots been going on.
You need to end the Extreme Ball program and you're giving me the key. That's the deal.
I don't have much more of a leg to stand on. All my Pokemon are down, except for Raikou, of course. But
Raikou's ignoring orders.
Yeah.
I don't fight for you. I'm taking a nap.
I don't support the ethics of AI.
On strike. Sorry.
Riker's just asleep over there on a dreams mattress. dreams.com/critical-ditto. Look, I trust you'll know what to do. I don't want any part of this. Hands over the iPad.
I'm gonna need to see you do it. I need you to end this. This is your responsibility. And also we know that the extreme balls can only be stopped by the person who created them, so I'm gonna need you to do it.
Theo looking at the thing that's like an iPad, being like, but there's only one button on it.
Yeah. How? I was like, what? Theo is just technologically so illiterate that Theo's like, you have to do it.
Not because I couldn't, but I want you to.
Logic totally dictates it must be you.
And Tyler, you stare at this iPad and you see your legacy slipping away and you see, you know, your grip to the new world slipping through your fingers, but also you see escape and you see, you know, Tyler survives.
Maybe we just see a couple of blue-eyed Pokemon limp around the corner.
Okay.
At that moment.
There are a Vileplume, Tom, and a...
And the Scyther.
Oh, the OG Scyther from the gym.
OG Scyther from Mokuba's gym.
I think that Scyther is one of the last Extreme Ball Pokemon to be standing.
Yeah.
It's that strong.
And I think Tyler looks at them...
Scyther!
You know, we did start this for a good reason. Really wanted to do good.
Everything starts for a good reason. It's whether it keeps being good that matters.
And then Theo sees some what looked like very complicated instructions on the iPad, but it's actually like two swipes and a tap.
Mm. Yeah. Theo's looking at it like magic, witchcraft.
I must employ this person at the church post haste after this.
And then after a couple of seconds, you just hear beep, boop, beep.
Do it. I imagine the camera like pans to the various like extreme ball Pokemon we've seen that have been statues. Suddenly their eyes go back to their normal and they sort of collapse to the ground, breathing and alive, but kind of fainted.
Maybe we also cut to like that arena that we've met Luann, Blarb and Farb in.
Oh, yeah.
And like Kenny's protect that he has just started to like crack as his sort of Kenny's obviously power has started to kind of be affected. Mm-hmm. And just as it kind of shatters, like their kind of blue tinges of their eyes suddenly
disappears.
And a Blarb and Farb alive, Stu and Ellie?
Yes.
Yes!
Brother, we're alive! We're okay!
And on their little floating island in the middle of that water, they all hug and Luann holds them.
My boys! My boys!
Too tight. Why am I welling up at this? This is stupid.
And yes, across the Pokemon League, we see the Extreme Ball Pokemon losing their blue eyes and coming to, and although weakened and beaten, not dying.
And the last one we see is the Lycanroc at the bottom of the tree that we first saw when we were in the...
Do you want to bring him back? Yeah, let's bring him back. Sure.
Yeah.
Bring him back.
Please, bring him back, Stu.
Lycanroc.
And the Scyther also returns to himself.
Scyther.
And links eyes with Tyler for a second.
Scythe!
Before flicking those wings and disappearing out.
Oh my god,
the
I thought the Scyther was going to kill him.
Oh my god,
I was like, oh my god.
I was so ready.
I was so like,
this is the end of Tyler.
I mean, no, we could Tyler roll. Lives. We could roll, Tyler, to see if you escape.
roll, Tyler.
Screw it. Yeah,
let's do it. Here we go. Does the Scyther get him, or does he escape and live to fight another day as Tyler the Cockroach? Let's find out. Tyler, you are rolling.
Don't have stats, mate. Just do a base.
It's a flat roll. Woof. Over 10, he gets away scot-free. Mixed success, he might lose a limb. Lower than that, he might die. Okay.
It's a three.
Three. So,
oh god,
I think Tyler goes to run. The Scyther X scissors Tyler in the back.
Oh,
go on.
Just like he did to Kappa.
Exactly.
It's a scythe through the back, just as Kappa got a horn drill through the back.
And then, but then the Scyther peels off Tyler's scarf, wraps it round, and then flies off.
What's underneath, Tom? What is underneath Tyler's scarf?
What is underneath? Just like a really bad spot.
Why?
Like a really bad sort of spot thing that he's just had. And like, unfortunately, because it's kept, like, the scarf has kept it quite a moist atmosphere in there. It's never really been able to breathe to recover.
Oh, man. Tyler locks eyes with Theo, gaping hole in his chest, and falls to the ground. And the iPad just cracks, just as Kappa's phone had cracked on the floor next to Kappa, as the pair share a similar poetic fate.
Oh, I forgot. I also have this key. Here you go, Theo.
Oh, yeah, the key's there. The key falls out of Tyler's. The key was under the scarf.
The key was under the scarf. Of course.
Yeah, there we go.
Unfortunately,
the Scyther had taken the key with him.
Yeah.
I'm like, not another chase!
Theo, you pick up the key, and at that moment, you start to feel the ground shake.
Oh no, what now?
It's not like any earthquake or Pokemon move that you felt before. This feels bigger. It feels more wide-reaching, and things start to pop out of the ground through whatever the foundations of the Pokemon League, through the floor of this, you know, security corridor that leads to the silo. You start to see roots. Brown roots starting to poke through the floor. And it's clear that whatever is happening beneath you, something is growing. Something is getting larger and more powerful. They start crashing out of the ground at several points. And you see attached to these roots are these strange organic pods. These large green oval shapes, almost like eggs, alien-esque eggs. And they're pulsating. And Elaine, even in this dead stupor, eyes these parts and goes, "She's close. She's close." Before completely conking out. And these pods start to drop down from the roots. And your only way you can see several pods have dropped, but you can intuit, Theo, that this is starting to happen across the league. And these pods start to peel. And you hear this unearthly noise from within. And I think at this point, Kenny, Brandy, where are you?
Yeah, I think we're kind of just entering the ruins to where the entrance to the ruins is with Theo right now.
Let's say we heard the big blast between Elaine and Cornelius and just went, let's head that way.
Everyone's got the keys. Yep. And you see Theo in the middle of all these pods that seem to be dropping. What do you do?
Kenny is going to send out Gyarados, jump onto Moustache's back, and pull Brandy on and try to fly down to collect Theo, just to get a bit of, like, get off the ground.
Are special defenders also on Gyarados, or are they?
Oh, yeah, and also them. Sorry. No, Kenny leaves them to die.
Okay, so you're going to try and collect Theo and sort of get a little bit of distance from the ground.
Yeah, just to kind of overview.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think Gyarados can, like, fly, like, above the silo doors or whatever, but it's more just, like, just to swoop down.
Yep. Okay. Can he roll? Let's roll. Roll create an advantage for Gardas.
Okay. And I've... Oh, my God. I rolled a 10.
Nice.
Beautiful. Okay. Describe this cool save, Ali, and what you say to Theo as you pick them up.
Everyone follow me, and runs forward as he's throwing out Gyarados. And I want to say, can we say that they were on the slope atop of, like, they were on like the edge of a wall.
Yeah.
And Kenny like jumps off the wall, releases Gyarados at the same time, and they all just like sort of smoothly land on Gyarados's back.
Amazing. As it looks moustache. Great. It looks so good.
As Moustache flies down, does a little spin in the air to avoid some like falling rubble from a nearby building as this earthquake starts to happen. There's a pod that just drops. It's going to land directly on them, but Gyarados dances out of the way. Gyarados is sort of pirouetting towards Theo. Kenny sticks out an arm, says, "Theo, grab on!" and thrusts out a hand for Theo to grab. But Theo's heavier, so Kenny would be pulled off, but then Brandy grabs Kenny to make sure that Kenny doesn't get pulled off Gyarados, and the three of them fly sort of away from this.
Then Heron tries to grab Brandy, who's going to fall off, and Brandy says, "Don't touch me, Heron."
Yeah, exactly. And Theo's not properly on, but is sort of like staring at the side, looking down at the scene that they just left. Whereas Brandy and Kenny are sort of focused on maybe like getting away and out of danger. Maybe Theo sees what's happening below.
So this is the first time the three of you have been
reconvened.
Okay.
Brandy says, "Took your time, Theo. We had our keys ages ago. Bit of trouble, run into a bit of difficulty.
You don't know how long I've had this for."
It feels like you've only just got it. That's my sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How long have you had it?
Why is your slimy?
Okay, why isn't it slimy? All right.
Nice.
It's a really good question, actually.
Shut up. Gary's just on the tail. Gyarados is far tail, because we almost left Gary behind.
Theo, you notice General Phillips is not on the Gyarados.
I see there's... I'm sorry.
It's war, Theo. But you did it, right? You saved the Pokepower people and the Pokemon?
I did, but it's war.
We're going to remember him, Theo. And we're going to make him proud.
He saved us. All of us. Says Kenny, looking at Brandy pointedly.
And the Extreme Balls are over, by the way. It's done.
Good. I didn't have to face any sort of nightmare fuel spider monster thing. I didn't have to do any of that. That wasn't creepy at all, what I had to do. Completely normal Pokemon battle.
I had to fight four stage fours. Theo?
Four? That is yours? So unfair. I had one.
You only had one?
One. Yeah.
One? But you're the strongest
and I
of
didn't
everyone.
Even do it. Hannah saved them, not even me.
No wonder all your Pokemon are fine.
Oh, yeah, Theo, do you need any Pokemon? I'm kind of doing like a trade thing if you need.
Oh, big time. Yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah.
Which
yeah,
ones
yeah.
have gone
no,
down?
Yes. Okay, everyone except for Medicham and Slowpoke. So,
wow. Oh my gosh.
Unless there's a Chekhov's gun, that one's. But yes, currently got two.
You got the Zygarde.
And, yeah, three
right?
people died.
You got the Zygarde.
Yeah, you got Zygarde.
We need to open that door, guys.
We see one tiny cell, like in the end.
Just what's drifting that? Past the Gyarados. Yeah. The pods start to open. And you can intuit this is sort of a tree defense mechanism or something that
right.
that is coming out of the roots that had been lurking underneath the Pokemon League that we already knew about. Thank you, Stinky Hero. And these pods, they start to open, and out of them come Tom. What comes out of the first pod?
Lots of Pokemon centers. Like, just...
like it's nurse Joys. Hundreds of Nurse Joys.
How may I help you? How may I help you? How may I help
That's
you?
That's actually quite haunting.
Please come again.
What could come out? Something bad, right? Something bad.
Yeah, it's something bad. It's a threat. It's a threat.
Is it too random for it to be, like, Ultra Beasts? Like, something that's otherworldly,
no.
like
yeah.
a completely like
that's
unseen...
cool. It's very Pokemon-y. I love it. Okay, so which Ultra Beast comes out of this first pod, Ali?
Slicing its way through the pod, blade first, a teeny tiny little Kartana.
Oh yeah,
the grass steel little bladed creature.
And you see it looks small, but suddenly it's like leaping towards you. It's like, and then the other pods start to open, and out comes a buzzwall. Ripping through its pod.
Something skipped leg day.
A Pheromosa just slinks through a gap in the pod. Pheromosa. A Guzzlord eats its own pod. Guzzlord. A Blacephalon just explodes out.
Oh, Blacephalon is honestly the worst.
Also,
oh,
suddenly,
word.
All these pods start, and it's like, oh my god, there's so many ultra beasts. This is the tree kicking into like, stay the muck away. Like, it's really kicking off.
One of the end of the roots, the tree roots just becomes a circuit tree. Like, in the.
Oh,
in
yeah,
that,
nice.
Like,
there are so many
ultra beasts. Oh my lord. Stack Attacker. Anyone remember that one?
Oh, Stack Attacker, yeah, the big
Stack
war
attacker,
one.
Yeah. We've got Nihiligo, which was one
Nihiligo,
of the main ones.
Yeah. Celesteela, I
want to
say.
Oh, yeah, the flying
Celesteela.
One. Gosh, Lord. Guzzlord.
Naganadel.
Guzzlord. Naganadel, yeah.
Oh, and of course there's Necrozma. Like, there's just
Necrozma as well. Yeah, yeah, okay. So, but they're all coming out of their pods, but the one that came out first was that Kartana, and that is the one that is jumping towards you guys on the Gyarados right now with this, like, leaf blade ready to come in. What do you do?
Maybe it's, I mean...
A special
well, Gyarados is out. Oh. It would make sense for Gyarados to just sort
of,
like...
pawn it off on, like, I don't know. Barnaby Timms, he can deal with it.
Barnaby Timms
jumps in front of the blade. Maybe he does.
Maybe it's maybe Hannah's like I'm all in on hero moments now, and she's also got a fire type.
Chandelure.
So maybe it's all coming towards you guys, and there's just a moment of hesitation from you three, and you're like, oh no, is this where it ends with a Kartana? No, it can't be. And then suddenly, Hannah has leapt off the Gyarados. This is my turn, and she and Chandelure have combined again, and she is firing her flame lance. The Kartana, and it envelops it in this flame. Suddenly flame crosses your eyes, and then the flame dissipates and the Kartana is just gone, disintegrated. Hannah falls, but the Chandelure and its soul link connection allows her, because she can't die from fall damage now, apparently. This is the thing. So she just rolls onto the floor. And she says to the other special defenders, guys, come on! This is us! This is where we hold our own. Those three need to get inside that tree. And this is what we do, okay?
We defend. It makes sense.
Heron grabs Bash's hand and jumps off, saying, feel the groove! And lets out his Porygon Zed, who gets right into it with a circuitry.
Tri-attacks on the circuitry. Okay, Ali, what does Hedrold do?
Hedrold
He does.
He does. He has
He didn't
ninjas.
Bring them with him, according to the episode I just edited. But luckily, Barnaby Tim said, Hedrold, my old pal, you left your Pokemon in my van last night. I mean, you left them somewhere where I found them. Here you go. You missed out. Here's Goon and your Ninjask.
Ninjask, sure.
Called Peter.
So you fly down on the Ninjask.
I think he flies down on the Ninjask.
With Barnaby, who flies down on Sir Cuthbert's mine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
So what do the pair of them do?
They both take on the Guzzlord.
Oh my god. So, Barnaby Timms, we may have overestimated our abilities.
It's
going to
take
here.
Two of them. No, we can do it together. Barnaby.
Hedro?
Take my hand.
Okay.
Together, we can do anything.
Together, we make one full Zigzagoon. Go! Zig!
And Goon!
Okay.
And they both, like, yeah, they both go for the Guzzlord.
Is there anyone left? Is there anyone left? Gary. David, what does Gary do with no Pokemon? Gary just goes hand to hand.
Oh, Gary goes to Pheromosa and chats her up.
Yes!
Gary's just sat with a Pheromosa on one side and a Nihilego on the other side, just like, so yeah, I used to be the Pokemon champion.
You want me to read a passage from my book for you, baby? I can do that.
Is that a mushroom?
I think a Blacephalon goes to come up from the ground to then cut Gyarados from beneath, but all of a sudden is gassed out of nowhere, and Luan is just on the edge, on like a nearby wall, and just started gassing out.
Take this.
Oh, this is freaking cool. This is like Avengers Assemble.
They're all assembling. And Hannah, as everyone is engaging in their battles, and there's so many Ultra Beasts, it's not looking
kind of
great
too
for them.
Many. I think Brandy kind of goes to Kenny and Theo like, gang, there are so many of those Ultra Beasts.
And Hannah cuts in, Brandy, stop it. Go. You need to go now. If you don't go now, you won't get another chance. Frey is close. Clearly, you have to go.
Phillips rings in her head, flashback of Phillips going, I made a choice.
There's always a choice, baby.
And Brandy looks ahead and says, come on, gang, let's get through those doors.
And the Gyarados pelts towards the doors.
Dodging the attacks. Each of you throw one key into a slot. It's like it's like Gambit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. The silo doors open, and just as an Ultra Beast attack is about to hit behind you, Gyarados and the three Sifloatzels disappear into the ruins of the Pokemon League.
There we go. That's it. Wild Charge is done. One more arc to go, folks. One more arc to go. We're almost there. Come on. Believe in us. Believe in us. Thank you so much for listening. I would like to thank Braxton Burks and the Materia Collective for their albums, Kanto Symphonies, Johto Legends, and Time and Space, along with Glitch X City for their music. Excellent work all round. Thank you to Satoshi Tajiri and Junichi Master for creating Pokemon. We are a fan-made, not-for-profit podcast and have no affiliation with Game Freak, the Pokemon Company, or Nintendo. I'd like to thank Michael Sands for creating Monster of the Week, which is the base game for our Pocket Monster of the Week. Special shout out to the previously contributor this week, our patron, Bannon. Thank you so much, Bannon. Great stuff giving us a previously. And of course, I would like to thank our lovely patrons. I'd like to thank Dalton Fett, Aubrey Resendez, Josh Anderson, Daisy, Here I Come, Bannon, Green Pikmin, Mew, Curtis Hovey, Joseph Tibbs, Freya, Lily Gilder, Rosie Skies Ahead, Christy, Mega Noodle, Zachary Turing, Eleanor Mihaloff, Tommy Portillo, Aidan Clark, Mark Smith, Brad Demon Dowker, Mike Habages, Dr. Rani, Jerembi's Mum, Alex W., Crispy, Huxley Spicer, Beth Shivers, Heather L. Snell, Betsy Lewin Lee, Darius Jakowski, Ellie Lieberman, Jerembi, Carrie Morrison, Scott M., Dr. Mega Man PhD, Keiko Pin Cosplay, Big Fat Nuke, Jonah Jackson, Cesar Trevino, Force Major Crandon Creations, Eric Iking, Emil Moir, Ginny Voss, and Alice Nick Collins, and the Game Master. Oh, wow. God, I went somewhere there. I really went somewhere. For those last few, that was Emil Moir, Ginny Voss, and Alistair Collinson. Thank you all so much. And I would finally, of course, like to thank Mebbies, David, forgot their names, David, Ali, and Stu for playing this game with me. And remember, go catch them all. And by all, I mean your dreams. No one joins in.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Not today. You know what? That went better than I thought it would. That went a lot better.
Me too, David. Me too. I don't know how Stu does it. Honestly, Stu, I don't know how you just begin a rap and you begin a song and then it's somehow good.
I don't know. Right.
Well, now I do. Am I right, fellas? Now I do.